Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt along today. Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, did you miss me yesterday? The answer is no. It's one of those questions that you ask when you already know the answer to it, right? They say a lawyer should never ask a question he doesn't know the answer to.
Right.
So. The answer is no. I won't put you on the spot to say that, but I'm sure you and Ozier did a fine job. People ask me all the time, who's filling in when I'm gone? I don't know. I don't care. I knew, but I don't care. It's not me. I'm not here. I walked down the hall earlier, and Jaguars, what is Ryan Robinson? PR director?
Yeah.
Right? Public relations
mm-hmm.
Director. He goes, man, you've been away for a while. I took a day off. I took one day off. You've been away for a while too, pal.
That's right.
Well, I walked by that office a lot, and it's closed up.
You had the week off, and then you were back for a week, and
yeah,
then you took the day.
They did have the week.
Like, they were over at the owners' meetings, so they didn't see it.
That's true.
They had no idea if you had been working for the last month.
I was grinding away last week while you were at the owners' meetings, all you Jaguar people, but that's true. I guess it's nice to be missed or noticed that
mm-hmm.
you're gone. I don't know, Tony. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you, but it was gorgeous out there yesterday.
As long as they're not asking you, when the hell is Tony just going to take a vacation, get out of here?
Like, right.
They're not asking, when is he leaving the building?
Or you're back?
Right. You don't want either of those.
And I'm sure there's plenty of that. They just don't necessarily say it to your face. And that's
right.
Okay. You know what? Talk away. Talk away if you must. Today, Ryan O'Halloran's out in Tallahassee, the pro day. By the way, I looked at Byron Bell, the cornerback from Connecticut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that his name? Byron Bell? Am I getting that right, or am I confusing his name with somebody else?
If you say so.
I think that's who it is. You know, the guy who ran, like, the ridiculous time in the 40, and then Byron Jones. That's who it is. Who's Byron Bell?
I don't know.
Ah, there's a Byron Bell now, and this internet's way too slow for me to figure it out. Brian Jones is the guy. And he broke the broad jump mark. He broad jumped 12 feet 3 inches. That's why War Chant with the heard P.J. Williams broad jump 13 and a half feet. What? He did it twice? What in the world? Are you kidding me? So, no, I don't think that happened, but things just getting underway out there in Tallahassee.
A little over 11 feet is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? I don't care what you broad jumped, really.
Right.
I mean, it does show explosive athleticism where it potentially could.
Yeah, he's an athletic guy.
P.J. Williams not on the Jags draft board because I don't think, anyway. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think right now, cornerback is pretty low on their priority list after getting Devon House in.
My guess.
Right, and with the guys that they have coming back.
They got four guys they got to feel comfortable with on the field right now.
They got a bunch of guys who are all 26 years old or younger,
right.
You know, 27 years old or younger, and I think they're for the most part, good to go. Something presents itself later on as a steal.
Not to say they won't draft a corner in this draft, but again, you're talking about a team that, unlike the last couple of years, they got 7 picks. I mean, it is round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's what the Jaguars have in this draft. So they don't have as much ammunition.
7
as
good
had.
Picks, though. 7 high picks.
Sure. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with only having 7 picks, but I think even Caldwell would say that he'd like to have 8 to 9 every year, ideally. And maybe they put themselves in a position with where they are at number 3 in this draft to get 8 or 9 picks in this NFL draft, but they don't have them right now.
Well, I agree with you. It's unlikely that if they sit there and take a top player at number 3 that they trade again and get a second first round pick, but I don't think it's impossible. And the scenario I talked about there with a team like that, a Seattle or a New England, teams that feel like, you know, maybe they just, and that's why they trade out so frequently. They say, well, this guy's not worth a first round grade. I'm not getting a true value here. I'd rather sit there. I've got 10 guys of equal measure on the board here. Let me trade back 6 or 7 spots. I'm going to get one of them anyway, and I'll pick up another pick next year, and that's why they're able to keep stockpiling picks.
No, I get that side of it. The other side of it to me is you have to feel that much more strongly about that running back than you do about the guy that you can get at 36, even if that guy comes off the board or in the third round. You have to feel that much more strongly about that player than the two guys you could get in the second and third round. I'm not sure the Jaguars are in a position where that would be their thing. It wouldn't be my thinking. So it's not something that I would be doing.
Again, I don't think it's an impossibility. You've got, I think if you go into it and say, well, we can't trade up because we have X amount, we have to fill.
No.
It's getting to the point, and certainly if not this year full blown, next year where there it will be a win total that you got to achieve. You know what I mean? I mean, it's win now. It's starting.
I think it's a little bit of that this year.
I do too. But I, again, with Shad Khan saying, I'm not going to put a number on it. We can't sit here and say they have to make the playoffs this year. I don't think that's the scenario for this, you know, front office and coaching staff.
They better turn three or four of those games where they were losing by a touchdown into wins.
I agree. And that means you need impact players. It's all well and good to draft guys that you think are long-term, and for the good of the franchise, you want those guys that are going to continue to develop, but you can get those too, okay? And there's nothing wrong occasionally on being aggressive and moving up. Sometimes it works, other times it doesn't. You know, more often than not, you're going to find teams that feel like they're close to whatever, close to making the playoffs for the first time in a long time, close to making a run for the championship, that are the ones willing to give up multiple commodities for one singular commodity. But ultimately, you need to share real difference makers on the field. Today, we're going to go a little bit different with the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. If the Jags were to trade down from number three, don't know how likely that is or not, because you don't know what kind of offers they're going to get. And you don't, and keep in mind, to move out of the top 10, I think it's going to take an awful lot for Dave Caldwell to do. All right? He is going to have a tier of players that he probably is not going to want to slide out of. How big that tier is, we don't know. But I'm guessing it's not going to be 15 guys, right? So it's going to be whatever it is. To get outside the top 10, you're going to really have to pay. And the only scenario I see that happening is for a quarterback. I don't necessarily see, at least right now, a team in the 13 range saying, oh, we got to have Leonard Williams. We're going to come up and we're going to give you all this for Leonard Williams. I think it's much more likely for a quarterback. So if the quarterbacks go 1-2, I think the trade down is probably off the board. But let's say whatever causes a team to trade up, the Jags trade down. The question of the day is there a specific player you'd like to see them target? Maybe you feel like he's not worth the third overall pick, but he might be worth the 8th or the 10th or the 15th or whatever range that is.
Right.
Is there a range for you as a fan? Now, I'm not saying you go in as a GM and you say, I have to get that one guy if I trade back to this spot, because unless you're trading back just a couple of picks, the likelihood of you being able to secure that, you know, it's really out of your hands. So you as a fan, if the Jags do trade back, is there a specific player you'd like to see them target? We'll talk about that today. We'll go out to Tallahassee with Ryan O'Halloran and take a look at what's going on. Who might the Jaguars be looking at Florida State's Pro Day? Certainly some interesting guys out there. And just so you know, the members of the coaching staff that are on hand with the Jags are defensive line coach Todd Wash and offensive line coach Doug Marrone. So obviously that's where their focus is with scouting the Florida State Seminole team. Gators go next Tuesday. Dante Fowler certainly will be a consideration. I would expect a bigger contingent of Jaguar coaches, because there's a much greater likelihood that the first pick they use is on a player out of Gainesville as opposed to one out of Tallahassee with this year's crop the way it lays out. So with that, if you'd like to get on board on social media, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. To tweet us, you can go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page. And, of course, 641-1010. Phone lines open to you. Talk Jags, talk draft, talk anything you like NFL-related. It's Jaguars Today on a Tuesday here live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, I got a few things here, Tony. Let's clear a few things up. First of all, Byron Bell. Panthers tackle Byron Bell. Knew there was a Byron Bell out there. Byron Jones, Byron Bell, Byron Scott, Byron Smith. Right?
Whatever, Byron.
Byron, whatever. Byron Leftwich. They're all the same guy. Are they? Not? Probably not. Secondly, FanDuel's cranking up for baseball season.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Monday, baby.
Monday is opening day, widespread opening. Two teams play on Sunday.
Sunday night, there's a game on ESPN.
Is it not Cincinnati? It's probably not. I think it's St. Louis and somebody.
I mean, Cubs.
Yeah, I forget who it is. Yeah,
St. Louis and the Cubs.
Yeah.
Who don't obviously care about winning, because they just, you know, they're all about that money, and they're all about how many years we can control our non-winning players.
It's 2 weeks,
man. In Chicago.
It's all about the long term.
They're doing the right thing.
He's going to get called up in mid-April.
They are doing the right thing, but don't give me Theo Epstein telling me we like to get our guys hot in the minor leagues. Shut up!
Just say what
They're hot in spring training right now. He's hitting 425. That's put him in the lineup. That's BS.
Just say what it is.
Everyone knows it's BS. And I just wonder if he doesn't want to be on public record as saying we're sending down a guy simply for this reason. When everybody knows that's the reason.
Yeah.
Be honest about it. Say, look, hey, Cub fans, really? Would you give up 2 weeks for an extra year of having this guy under our control where you don't, where we can, it'll help our budget to not have to overpay this guy? Come on. So, anyway, but FanDuel is going to set up a league. We'll tell you more details about it over the next few days. But they're going to set up a league specifically for our 1010XL listeners, if you've never tried fantasy baseball before. And it's only, it's one day, just like football, right? One day fantasy baseball. It's just opening day. I believe it's going to be like $5 to play. And you get a, you know, the winner will get a chunk of the pot. The FanDuel, obviously, that's how they make their money. They take a percentage of the entry fees.
Right.
And I think you're going to pick 9 players, salary cap, and you can mix them up, pitchers and hitters, because they have different scoring systems, but they try to balance it out. So it pretty much evens out. A great pitching performance will equal a great offensive performance, or roughly so. And so if you've tried fantasy baseball, or fantasy football, and tons of you had with FanDuel this past season with us, and really for the last few years, try fantasy baseball. I've never played fantasy baseball because it's always been way too much. Way too much.
Baseball is made for these daily leagues. Oh, honestly, baseball and basketball, like if you're looking, if you're playing these season-long fantasy baseball and basketball leagues, and you want to, look, it's difficult to do that because of all the injuries, all these different things. You get to play matchups. You know, you sincerely get to play matchups. There's going to be a bunch of aces going, obviously, for opening day.
I would think so.
So pick your position players wisely.
All the best players in every organization except the Cubs will be on display on opening day. Because that's how they roll. And that's why they're the Cubs.
Whatever. They did the same thing with Mike Trout.
I was messing with the Cubs. I said it's the right thing to do.
That's how it rolls, man.
You know, but Yankees are running out there because Yankees are like, we don't care about another year. We're a fiscal responsibility. What fiscal responsibility? Pay the man. Let's go. We need, that's 2 weeks worth of gate receipts.
Right.
That'll make up for, think about that. How much, I mean, look, they're gonna, Cub fans are dumb anyway. They always pack the place no matter how bad the team is.
Yeah, you were.
No, they are. Now, come on. Cub fans are dumb, right? Are they not?
Dumping on the Cubs.
How many years can you go without winning anything and continue to pack the place? What's the incentive for the team to get better? What's the incentive for the team to spend any money?
No, I'm with you.
You know, so just saying. And by the way, your ballpark is in shambles right now, too, isn't it? Is it? It's like an erector set. In that, from what I've been led to believe, it's not.
I have
like,
no idea.
All the work they've been doing on Wrigley is not done.
Yeah, there's no outfield wall right now. It's kind of just a big hole.
Yeah, thank you. What a franchise.
Hey, but the video board's supposed to be done by Saturday, and it's still not even there yet. So. Who knows?
I got a new franchise
It's really great when you have, you know, a game that is played in the spring and summer. So all the construction you have to do is right there in the winter in Chicago.
In Chicago.
That works out really well.
All right. Moving along. So look for that, and we'll tell you more details about how you can sign up for that league if you want to try it. It's a one-day thing. $5, you get in, maybe win some money, and be on your way. And then you get hooked, man. And maybe we'll do weekly leagues like this with FanDuel. We'll
That'd
see how
fun,
it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. See what kind of turnout we get. So listen for that over the next couple of days. We'll give you some details on that. Robert Kraft on the stand right now, hugging it out, kissing it up. At least that's what he's talking about. He used to do with Aaron Hernandez,
yeah,
right?
They used to have a greeting. He would hug me and kiss me.
Yeah, I saw Jeff, one of the pros out at the World Golf Village yesterday. I hugged it out with him, man. Hugged it out with a lot of guys. I didn't kiss him, but that's all right.
Robert Kraft, he looked confused, honestly, when he was on the stand. He said he had a head cold, and like when they got him on there, they asked him, the prosecution's questioning him, and they're like, do you work, sir?
Do you work?
And he's like, yes, I think I do. And they ask him where he works, and he says, like, one Patriot Place, and then they ask him what he does. And there's this long, awkward pause. While
Paid a bill. I signed the checks.
Right. Well, which is what I would say if I was him. And he was like, whatever they ask me to do. Like, it's just this weird back and
whatever
forth.
Whatever Belichick tells me to do.
Right, it's like, I really don't want to be here doing this. Like, that's the
vibe you get
from Robert Kraft, right? And I don't know what all he's saying.
I signed murderers, allegedly.
Right, but it is being broadcast live on Fox 25 or whatever up in the Boston area. So
hurry up, get up there.
Right, the coverage is live, and there's a couple clips on Deadspin if you want to check it out.
Excellent. I will do that later at great length. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in today. Let's get a couple of phone calls. And we'll start with Charles this morning here on 1010XL on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good. I love
the show. What's
up? And I heard y'all call it PMM.
PMM?
I think it should be called PMS for Prime.
What are you talking about?
Prime.
PMM.
What is the y'all call? Anyway. I was calling about, should we get a center?
Oh, like prime mock season?
Oh, yeah. Prime. Oh, what Dan was saying about mock draft season.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
PMS, prime mock season.
Yeah,
that's
prime,
perfect.
Prime mock syndrome, PMS. Anyway,
okay.
I was calling about, should we get a center? And should we drop back to get a center? Are we happy with
our
center?
Well, you tell me. What you give us your opinion, we'll tell you ours. What do you think?
I think we should try and get a center. I really do.
Okay. I think what it boils down to is how strongly do they feel about Luke Bowanko? I think one of the things we'll talk about coming up here with Ryan O'Halloran, Tony, he did a story about what free agents are still out there that may be of interest to the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Steve Wisniewski, 26 years old, has been a starting center for the Oakland Raiders. Right. Well, Jags' new offensive coordinator should know a little bit about the Oakland Raiders since that's where he most recently worked. And you know, the thing with Wisniewski is the feeling is he wants to walk in somewhere and be told you're being signed to be the starter somewhere. I think the fact that he hasn't been pursued by the Jags, at least you know among guys in free agency. Is that I don't think they feel that strongly about any of those guys that, you know, if you want to sign here something reasonable, maybe an incentive-laden deal where if you earn the starting job and then compete with Bowanko, that's fine. But I think it's an indication to me that from that standpoint, I know he asked about the draft, but that they don't feel like he is so clear-cut better than the option they have. Greg Olsen should know all about Steve Wisniewski. Now, I think Cam Irving is a very interesting prospect. I think the Jags are probably going to miss on the opportunity to take him with the 36th pick. That seems to be, I mean, it's not impossible. Guys slide no matter what the mock drafts say. He could be sitting there at 36 if he is. I think he's a very interesting prospect. Offensive line took off in terms of production last year in Tallahassee when he got moved to the center position. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about him now as having a lot of Pro Bowl potential. We have to find out what they really feel about Bowanko. I don't think they feel as strongly about Bowanko as they do about Linder. I think that's obvious, but I think they like Luke Bowanko. I think they like what he brings to the table. I don't think they're opposed to bringing in somebody to compete for that job, but they really haven't done that, right? They haven't brought in any depth, and that's something we thought they would do. Bring in some interior linemen to compete. Maybe push Beatles, push Bowanko for those spots. Make the team better overall. Bring in some depth. So I think somewhere along the line, Tony, that's a possibility. I don't think the first round is likely, even if they trade back, that would be a likely target for this football team. What about you?
No, I don't think center is going to be something they're targeting in the first round. Maybe not even in the second round. That may be a third-day prospect to me as far as addressing that center position. But I do think that at some point in this draft, they're going to draft somebody that can play center. I think at some point they're drafting somebody that can play center because they got one guy on this team right now that plays that position. They can move Brandon Linder inside if they needed to, but I don't think they want to take him out of that right guard spot where he's been so good for this football team. And right now they're in a position
going to do that.
Right. If there was an injury to Luke Bowanko, who's playing center? Who's playing center for this football team? I mean, Luke Bowanko may be the only guy who has experience snapping the ball on this roster right now. So I think at some point in the draft, they will bring in somebody that can play center. I wouldn't be surprised if it is a guy that they feel like can play multiple positions on that line so that they can have some flexibility with that.
That's what's
guy.
So great about Irving.
Right.
I mean, he's played left tackle, for goodness sakes, and maybe best suited to center, but in a pinch,
sure,
could back up a number of positions for
sure
him.
But that's why I think it's going to be a guy that you're seeing on day three of the draft probably coming in to play the center position for the Jags.
All right. Charles wants to go with PMS for prime mock syndrome. Probably, you know. It went right over my head.
I like mock season.
Mock season. Rabbit season. Let's go to Gary next up here on Jaguars. Hey, good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, Def, guys. And definitely the Cubs are the dumbest fans in baseball to keep supporting that garbage.
Whoa.
Oh, they've been terrible.
Tyler, come on. Tyler, you're prime example number one, so easy here, buddy. Just look in the mirror, but, pal. All right? Just kidding.
You know, as a Dolphin fan, the Jags have the same trouble. You know, the Dolphins have trouble keeping Tannehill upright. It doesn't matter what you've got around him. You got to keep him upright. I'd move down. If you can move down to 15, I'd look at who's there, like an Aaron Flowers. If not, somebody like that, Trey Wayne, defensive back. Because that's who I'm hoping the Dolphins either get, a Trey Wayne to match up against Brent Grimes or go with Perriman. What do you guys know about Perriman as a receiver? Is he a big time playmaker? Because I haven't followed UCF that much because I saw that Sue McKay had the Dolphins picking.
He's an interesting guy. I don't know a whole bunch about him.
I heard he struggles catching the football.
Yeah, I saw a tweet last week after the UCF Pro Day where it was an anonymous source from some front office around the league that was talking to one of these scouts that was out there that we talked to from time to time. And the tweet was basically, well, did he catch the ball at his pro day? Because he doesn't on tape.
Right, exactly.
That's the knock around him around the
Great
league.
Great athlete.
Right, which is why when I saw him at 15 or whatever in that mock draft, I was like, what?
You know who that sounds like? Sounds like Cordarrelle Patterson.
Right.
I mean, phenomenal athlete.
He couldn't do any,
at Tennessee.
He couldn't run a route. He didn't know what he was doing on a football field, and still doesn't to a large degree. But he's a great athlete.
Great athlete, and right, struggles with the finer points of being a receiver. Catching is a pretty important one of those points.
Yeah.
I would say Aric Flowers is tackle. I don't think they're going to go. No way they're getting a tackle. And Trey Waynes, again, I don't think they're taking a cornerback anywhere near the first round.
No.
Now, again, like you said, Tony, does that mean they won't draft a corner at all? I think at a certain point you do take a value and you say, wow, this guy is standing out like a sore thumb. We had a third round grade. Here he is in the fifth round. How do we not take this guy? Fine.
Sure.
But I think there would be plenty of guys that would not only fit the value of the actual talent, but be a much more pressing need if they traded back to the middle of the first round range. But that's why we asked you today, if the Jags do trade back, would you like to see a specific player targeted, and who would that player be? Share your thoughts on Twitter. You can call in as well. We're going to call out to Tallahassee next. Ryan O'Halloran is out there. I wonder what O'Halloran could do in the standing broad jump. What do you got O'Halloran for in the broad jump, Tony?
Oh, goodness.
Can he I'm not trying to insult him, because I don't know what I could do.
No.
How far do you think you could jump in the broad jump? If my knees weren't bad, pre-knee injury last year, I bet I could have done 6 feet in the broad jump. That's not super.
No, I don't know what I would do.
If I got with one of those guys who could teach you the finer points, you know, how to swing your arms, whatever, with the proper technique. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you.
Technique, you know, is a big part of it. O'Halloran, what do you put him at? 4 feet? Could he break 4 feet?
Right around there would be my guess.
Do we need to have a Jaguars Today co-host combine? And who would actually participate? All right, Garrard and Lockman laugh at everybody. But I'm talking about Mark Long, O'Halloran, Osier. Who am I leaving out here? I don't know. Who am I leaving out? Those are like our regulars.
Those are the regulars. Yeah.
We get Alfie in there. We'll throw Alfie in there.
Uh-huh.
Who else?
We got to get Duval Doom.
Come up with a list. Duval Doom.
Absolutely.
That's a great call. You are now the second dumbest fan base. You're moving up, Tyler. Look at you, man. That's a bright idea for a Cub fan. That's amazing.
I would ask who they move ahead of, but I don't really want to know.
What's that?
I would ask who they moved ahead of, but I don't want to know.
What do you mean, who they moved ahead of?
You said second dumbest fan base now.
Oh, I don't know. There's got to be somebody that's dumber than that. I didn't hear any other fans come up with Duval Doom on the spot like that, so... I guess Braves, because you're a Braves fan, and you did not suggest.
I knew it was coming.
You did not suggest. Jazz Duval Doom right off the top of your head. All right, moving along. Ryan O'Halloran out in Tallahassee coming up next. If you want to make some suggestions for the various events that will put these co-hosts through in the co-host combine, which I'm sure they'll all be eager to participate in. Osher would do it because Osher's a good sport. He may be the only one. Mark Long would do it because he would think he would beat everybody. And that's the only two I think I could really count on for this. If we had a WrestleMania component, we might be able to get O'Halloran involved in that as well. 641-1010, and send us your suggestions on social media. We'll talk with Ryan out at FSU Pro Day coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, let's talk a little Jags with Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today live at Everbank Field, as we are every day. At least Tony is. Sometimes I'm not, apparently. And I missed. They think I'm always gone, Tony. Ryan O'Halloran in Tallahassee. How are you, sir? What's going on?
So much, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hey, Ryan, I was told today that Todd Wash and Doug Marrone are the representatives for the Jags, which makes a lot of sense, at the Florida State Pro Day. Defensive line, offensive line, got a lot of prospects there. In your mind, I mean, obviously, Winston's the center of attention. I know you got to cover the Florida State Pro Day, but from a Jaguar perspective, let's say Cam Irving somehow falls to them at the 36th pick or is on the board, okay? Is he a serious consideration, a guy who could play a number of positions on the offensive line? Maybe not their most pressing need, but could he present the most value for this specific team at that moment?
Well, it's an interesting thing because, like, 2 months ago, we would have said, hey, that'd be a great pick because he'd be a plug-and-play guy at right tackle. He, you know, he could give you some options at center. But, you know, you added Parnell. You know, what... Yeah, it remains to be seen what you do at center. So I think at that point, you're still looking for immediate starters. At least I would be. I think you may go in a different direction. But you mentioned, yeah, there's other linemen you're working today that Marrone will look at. There's a couple of defensive linemen that Todd Wash will probably take a look at. So, you know, when you have so many guys working out, there's a lot of other options from rounds 1 through 7.
Just talk about the center position for a minute, because I do think Cam Irving, there's a good chance he's going to be drafted by some team to play center for them, and that's more what I'm thinking if he were there at 36. I'm not advocating, I'm just asking you, but in general, the center position for the Jags, how do you think they feel about Bowanko? And we've talked about them bringing in competition for the interior of the offensive line, and so far, and I realize it's early, but so far we haven't really seen anything. Parnell makes Pastor kind of a swing guy at a number of positions, but they haven't added anything new to the roster. Do you think they feel comfortable with what they have in Luke Bowanko at center, or do you think they're looking to push him?
Well, they'll always say they're looking to push guys because I've given them every opportunity to say, okay, is the left guard spot open? And they say every spot's open. Well, every spot's not open, but digressing is you're getting to the part of free agency, and I wrote about this today, is guys who thought they should be paid starter money should be guaranteed starting spots, but are finally starting to realize a month into the open market, it's time to go to plan B. It's time to get into a camp before the draft, it's time to find a situation where it may not be the money, it may not be the opportunity, but at least you have a chance to start. I think that's where the Jaguars might be at, is I don't think they're actively searching for a guy. I mean, everybody else say Stephon Wisniewski because of his fit with Greg Olsen. I think Wisniewski is saying, I got to be somewhere where I'm the no-doubt starter. I don't think he's going to be able to hear that from the Jaguars, so let's move that forward into the draft. You know, you don't draft a Cam. If you draft a Cam Irving, you're probably drafted to be your starter right away. So if you go further in the draft, I would see them drafting a center and a guard to be a swing guy, also maybe a potential starter.
So how important do you think versatility is for the Jaguars looking at those kind of interior line positions? I think a lot of fans still want to see this team address what's going on with that offensive line, given the problems they had last year. What is the balance between trying to find somebody that's young and versatile for this team and can help them right away?
Well, I think Blake, with their other needs, it's going to be tough to find an offensive lineman who can help them right away. Last year, they traded up for Linder because they needed a spot right away. You know, Blake
foot started earlier than expected. So the intake, if they draft up an offensive lineman this year, it's more like, okay, he can play more than one position, and he's also, you know, a depth guy. Because really, you look at those starting spots, four of them are locked in. And so do they draft a guy or sign a veteran to create competition at center? I mean, I don't think if Boyega embarrassed himself last year, I wouldn't have a problem seeing them go into week one with him at center.
Oh, I don't think we feel there's an issue with that. But again, when you take a guy in the sixth round, maybe you get more than you expected out of him. That doesn't mean if something presents itself that you won't look to that. Put it this way. Do you think this is still a needs-based draft? Because, Dave Caldwell talked to Tony and I shortly after they signed the six initial free agents, said, we could play right now if we needed to. So we do feel like we're not as encumbered by going into the draft and saying, we have to get this, we have to get that. Will this be a draft that's targeting just the best players available, for lack of a better term, for the most part? Or do you think they still come in and say, somehow, whatever rounds we get them in, we got to get some linebackers, we got to get a running back? How do you think their approach is at this moment?
Well, I think it still should be need-based because you're 3-13 and there's still glaring holes on the roster. That said, with that number three pick, I think you go best player available if it's Leonard Williams. If Marcus Mariota is the best player available, you're not going to take him. Once you get out of that pick, you need a slot receiver. You need to start developing a middle linebacker for the future. You need an outside linebacker that can play special teams. Do you feel good enough about Sergio Brown? You need to draft a free safety to create some competition there with Josh Evans. So I think once you got out of that first round, and maybe even including that third pick, this team still has some needs they have to address instead of drafting the best player available.
What are you looking for out there today at the Pro Day with Florida State? Obviously, Jameis Winston, not a consideration for this football team in Jacksonville, but what are you looking forward to seeing out there today?
One thing, they had a couple guys, Irving, Rashad Green, Nick Leary, who were supposed to be in the Senior Bowl, but bowed out because they had just got done playing. So I want to see how does Nick Leary catch the ball. I think Rashad Green is going to be a steal in this draft for somebody. He's played a ton of games. He can play different spots at a receiver. So I just wanted to see him catch the ball a little bit. And, so those are the main guys. You can't really tell a lot by the linemen when they do their positional stroke. But the main attraction, and I guess he's supposed to work out around 1 o'clock, is the quarterback. And just as Hayes Carlion brought up here, who's going to run the workout? And who's even, what has he been focused on last month and a half?
Is it Whitfield going to run, George Whitfield, the quarterback's guru, going to run the Winston portion of it? I mean, that was my expectation at least.
That would be my assumption, so it's going to be, because I thought last year Blake Bortles, with Carson Paul or Jordan Fowler, that was one of the best workouts you'll see. So, does Whitfield bring up the prop? It's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on the NFL Network. Does Whitfield make it about himself? What does he emphasize in terms of the throws he wants to make?
Ryan, you did a story for the Times Union about free agents still available, possible targets for the Jaguars. Obviously, you talked about Greg Jennings. We've talked about him a great deal. And Nate Washington, you mentioned. You talked a little bit about Steve Wisniewski here, and I think your logic is right. He's probably at his age looking for a walk-in starting position. Maybe that changes. Maybe they show some interest if his expectations come down. What about Steven Ridley? The running back from New England Patriots has got a visit with the Miami Dolphins today. One of the most productive early down running backs in the AFC when healthy. Has had fumbling issues, certainly, and he's coming off a torn ACL. But you would think he'd be very cheap on a prove-it-to-me type scenario. Do you think they'd be interested in him, or are they going to avoid guys with injury and more look towards a pair of young, fresh legs in the draft?
At this point, I think they put all their focus toward, okay, these are the five running backs they like in the draft, and they're going to be happy getting any one of them. The pure thing, the waiver claim, no big deal. They put their efforts into Murray, didn't get him. So to me, it's like they've moved on to the draft right now, particularly on running back. They might be doing that with slot receiver as well.
We appreciate it, man. You'll be in on Thursday, right?
Yes, Thursday.
Hey, listen, we just kicked around the idea of doing a co-host combine. Are you, how? What's your broad jump? What do you think right now you could pull in the broad jump?
Maybe 3.5 inches.
I was going to give you 3.5 feet at least, man. Come on. Don't sell yourself short.
Well,
all right. Were you
like,
happy with WrestleMania?
I thought it was fabulous. An incredible show.
Right, and were you happy with... I got it. Were you happy with WrestleMania this weekend?
I thought it was incredible.
Of course you did. Full report on Thursday, okay?
All right.
All right, bud, we'll see you. Thanks, Ryan. Take it easy, Ryan. Don't holler it out in Tallahassee for Florida State's Pro Day. Coming up, we've got the state football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL, and oodles more. It's all happening right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you today by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, following what I hear was a rousing this date in football history yesterday.
Yeah.
Woo, boy. This date in football history, March 31st, 1962. John Taylor, famous for catching the winning touchdown for the San Francisco 49ers against the Cincinnati Bengals as mm-hmm. the Niners won the Super Bowl in, the 89 Super Bowl.
I believe that's correct.
I get it so confused. You know, I'm a simple-minded man. But John Taylor, Tony, I looked up his numbers, and pretty impressive considering he was sharing the field with Jerry Rice. Had 2,000-yard seasons. Keeping in mind, you know, in 89, 90, 91, we didn't see quite the passing game that we see in the National Football League today.
No.
For his career, averaged 16.1 yards per catch with his best season probably, a couple of them really good, but 60 catches, 1,077 yards, averaged 18 yards per catch that year, and scored 10 touchdowns. That's pretty darn good.
That's great.
Several 90-plus yard TDs. Former Jaguar tight end Derek Brown, born on this date in 1970. One famous footballer, college ranks, died on this date. Newt Rockne passed away on this date in 1931, died in a plane crash at the age of 43.
Mm-hmm.
I may have known that about Newt Rockne. I may not have known that. So I looked up, you know, how many famous athletes. We know some of the bigger ones, certainly Marshall University football team.
Sure, Roberto Clemente.
Thurman Munson died
Rocky
in a plane
crash.
Rocky Marciano. I didn't know. Good for you that you knew that one, Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano. Marvin Goodwin was the first pro athlete believed to be killed in the plane crash October 18th, 1925. So how about that? He was one of 17 pitchers that were grandfathered into throwing the spitball after it was outlawed in 1920. Imagine that. It's now cheating, but if you were known to have done it before, if you were known to have cheated before...
That's right. It's such a gentleman's game.
You can continue to cheat.
We're not going to ask them to stop cheating.
As far as that goes, just Brooks Berenger. Remember Brooks Berenger? Played quarterback at Nebraska, mm-hmm. right? Filled in for Tommy Frazier and got there into the championship game against Miami Hurricanes in 1994. Died 2 days before the NFL draft when a plane he was piloting, as a matter of fact, crashed in Nebraska and on it. There's such a long list. Pete Stewart, another one.
Yeah.
We remember him. And look, I guess a lot of people over the years have died in plane crashes and bound to have your share of athletes be among them. But it was just fascinating for me. Alan Kulwicki in 1993, at the time, was the defending NASCAR Winston Cup champ and was flying, made an appearance at the Knoxville Hooters and was flying on a Hooters corporate plane on his way to Bristol for the race and crashed. I mean, on and on the list goes. So Newt Rockne, who told his team to win one for the Gipper.
That's right.
George Gipp. And now I guess they say win one for the Newt, as the case may be. This date in football history brought to you today by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you want to try out that custom-fit Somnomed Snoreguard that you've heard so much about. It is practically a medical miracle. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, Robert Kraft on the stand today in Aaron Hernandez's murder trial. His fiancée, Shyana Jenkins, testified at his trial yesterday, saying that she did throw away a box from the couple's basement at the request of Aaron. She did go on to say that she didn't ever look inside that box, but testified that it smelled skunky, indicating that it could have had marijuana in it, which doesn't really help the prosecution, who was trying to say that she was getting rid of the potential murder weapon used against Odin Lloyd, or at the very least some crucial bit of evidence. Instead, she testified essentially that Aaron Hernandez asked her to destroy a box, which from the outside looking in, it certainly seems reasonable if you're a juror to assume that something in there could have been evidence, but she did not come close to testifying to that fact. And actually, at the grand jury, she said that she took it upon herself to destroy that box and has been charged with contempt of court, or perjury, excuse me, perjury from her testimony there. She's pled not guilty to that. Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plains Dealer, says the Browns are still looking to address their quarterback position. Reportedly, they are comfortable with Josh McCown as their quarterback to start the year. Notice they did not mention their first-round pick from last year, Johnny Manziel. According to Cabot, the Browns would still be interested in trying to trade for Sam Bradford and could use their two first-round picks at 12 and 19 to move up and target a quarterback in the upcoming draft as well. Free agent running back Stephen Ridley is expected to visit with the Miami Dolphins today. Ridley tore his ACL last season with the Patriots.
Yes, he did. And I read a report on Pro Football Talk about Mary Kay Cabot's report on the Cleveland Browns, and I'm not clear. I'm looking for it right now. I can't find it. It's not right in front of me at the moment. But whether they were speculating based on her report or whether she indicated that they basically may have given up already on Manziel. And, I mean, it's hard to believe after 1 year. And I get it. I know the details. Like, we all know the details of the Johnny Manziel story. But, man, I mean, is there not such a thing as a reclamation project? Can a guy not turn it around? If you really did, if your football people really felt he had potential, or did Jimmy Haslam just overrule all his football people and listen to the homeless guy on the street, like he claimed on draft day, who looked at him and said, "Draft Johnny Manziel." It's like a story out of the Fisher King or something like that.
No, it is. It's a weird story, and there's not much talk about Manziel. I'm looking at the little article there on Pro Football Talk right now, and it is Cabot that apparently is writing that the Browns are down on Manziel, may not even try to get much for Manziel in a trade. And
there it is, yes. I finally found it.
That Jerry Jones, she speculates, may still be interested in trading for Johnny Manziel. So, look, it sounds like in Cleveland, after 1 year, they're pretty much done. Now, if they don't find a quarterback via trade this offseason and something happens to McCown during the season and Manziel gets on the field, maybe he can rejuvenate his career or get another opportunity, but it sounds like that's the only way it's going to happen for Johnny at this point. Someone has to get hurt for him to get on the field
and excel.
Or how
about stink? How about stink? Because Josh McCown has a high stink factor to him. Okay, he can certainly play the
stink card. And how bad does the guy have to be before they're willing to go to Manziel at this point?
Josh McCown will show you just how bad a guy can be now.
It's a weird spot for a guy that was drafted in the first round.
Remember how, I mean, Tony, I know we brought this up every time probably Josh McCown's name comes up, but he had that good half season with Chicago 2 years ago. But do you remember how awful he was the season before? It was embarrassingly awful. It was Spurgeon win against the Jaguars back in the 90s awful. It was as bad as you've seen a quarterback play at the professional level, you know, and that's why now you get the Bears. Maybe it's something in the water in Chicago, right? With the Cubs and the Bears,
think it points to the desperation at the quarterback position in this league. When you don't have one, it's just like, that guy worked for five games, let's give it a shot.
I guess, but
it's desperate.
You know, now you got the Bears saying, Cutler's got to beat out Jimmy Clausen. If Cutler can't beat out Jimmy Clausen, what in the world? I mean, just for that.
Why are you paying him $15 million this year to see if he can beat out Jimmy Clausen?
Well, he's locked in. He's getting that money regardless. But if you can't beat out Jimmy Clausen, wouldn't you just send him on his way so you wouldn't have to look at him, sit there, and collect your $15 million? At least collect it in another location. Just go off and sulk somewhere else. Yes, what do you got?
Some breaking news regarding the Jaguars. They have waived fullback Brady Ewing. So officially now no fullbacks on the roster, with Willie T not tendered as a free agent, so he is technically a free agent.
Fullback right go to the top of the draft board right now? Who's the best fullback available at number three this year, Tony?
I don't
Can
know.
Can Leonard Williams play both ways is the question. By the way, I wanted to bring this up. Well, Ryan O'Halloran was on with us, but we were running short on time. Look, I love Nick O'Leary as a player, as a Florida State fan. And no interest in Nick O'Leary. And not that, look, the Jags have signed Julius Thomas, but there are a lot of people, even prior to that, you know, throughout the season, and they're saying, you know, let's sign Julius Thomas and draft Nick O'Leary, right? Mm-hmm. And because you can have more than one good player at a position, particularly a position where you can play more than one
player.
It's
allowed.
But he's slow, and he's short by tight end standards. That's not a good combination. Got great hands. No question, he's got great hands, tough guy. Slow and short. I don't know if I like that combo.
No.
In the National
Football
League. You
would think third down or third round max.
Like, I think that's way overdrafted. Me personally, again, terrific college player.
Like I said, max. I think he's actually going to wind up fourth, fifth when everything is said and done. There's no tight ends in this draft. Like, even if you rank all the tight ends, he's probably fourth or fifth among your tight end rankings in this year's draft.
But, I mean, is he big enough to be an inline tight end? I don't think he is.
No.
And if he's not, then, you know, all he is an offensive guy that you're going to move around the formation and do all these things. And is he fast enough? Look, I get it. He made some contested catches. You're going up against college DBs and linebackers and the like.
Sure.
I'm not enamored with his pro prospects.
I went to draftinsider.net real quick just to look at the fullback rankings.
Who you got?
From Tony Pauline. He's got a fifth-round grade. That's the highest grade he has on a fullback this year for Tyler Varga. Any idea where Tyler Varga went to school?
Tyler Varga, Tony, was from. You got to narrow it down. Is it a BCS, quote unquote, BCS conference
no.
school? I'm going to go Tyler Varga.
It's not even a mid-major.
Tyler Varga went to Holyoke.
He went to Yale.
I wasn't going to say Yale, but I was going to say, like, Princeton.
Yeah.
He went to Yale. Holyoke's a good academic school, isn't it, Fortunato? Give me a thumbs up. He just gave me a shoulder shrug. I thought somebody in the Fortunato clan went to Holyoke. I was misinformed,
right,
apparently.
And just out of curiosity, I just flipped over to their tight end rankings, too. He's got Nick O'Leary as his fourth-rated tight end with a fourth-round grade on him. So
it is a bad year for tight ends. So that's not take Nick O'Leary out of the conversation. It is reported to be a bad year. It's not like Tony and I were sitting here in October saying, let's go over the tight ends available coming out. Max Williams out of Minnesota seems to be the guy. And, Tony, I still see him mocked to the Seahawks in fresh mock drafts. You would think maybe the investment in Jimmy Graham would say otherwise, right? They have Luke Wilson. I don't understand that connection.
They run the ball a lot. Unless they want to run a bunch of tight ends.
This guy is not a big physical guy either. This guy is one of those catch the ball guys. That's a great football tight. He's a catch the ball guy, Tony,
he's a
tight
catcher.
End. He will catch the ball. You know what I'm saying? He's more of a call him a finesse tight end if you want to.
Sure.
He's more of a pass receiving tight end than he is a complete tight end or a, you know, an inline blocking tight end, is my point.
What about this one, guys? What do you think about Bernard Pierce playing fullback? Couldn't he do that?
He's done a little bit of it. I don't know.
All right. I mean, if that's the case, if you could get that out of him and he were effective in that role, I'd say fine.
I
see less fullback.
Right. When they brought in Bernard Pierce off waivers, I saw some people talking about what Greg Olsen had run in Oakland. And I think, just based on the limited conversations we've had with Greg Olsen, I don't think this is the Greg Olsen offense. You know, I didn't get that sense from Greg Olsen. I got the sense of, here's what I have available to me, this is what I'm going to run because that's what the guys available to me are best suited to do. So, look, I don't think Bernard Pierce was being brought in to be the Marcel Reese on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know that that was the plan for that guy. I think if Bernard Pierce is going to make this team, it's because he carves out a role for himself somewhere.
He's a better runner than some of these other guys. By the way, Jordan Todman, who did he sign with yesterday?
Carolina.
Carolina, yes.
And look, why not Toby Gerhardt at fullback if you're going to run a fullback? Look, if the idea is just to have a guy on the field that can be a potential pass catcher for you out of the backfield, then why wouldn't it be Toby?
Most frequent offensive formation in game one as it stands right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars? What do you got? What would you see?
I would say single back, two tight ends.
Two tight ends, right? You're going to get Mercedes and Julius Thomas. You're going to have Robinson and Lee and whoever is carrying the ball in the backfield, right?
That would be my guess.
There you have it. All right, let's take the time. I think Marcus Pollard's going to join us coming up here in a minute. We'll talk about Gus Bradley's clinic coming up, and we'll do that just in a few minutes. Jaguars Today rolls on. We're live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues live here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios, Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL. 92.5 FM. Don't forget, fan feedback question of the day, asking you, if the Jaguars trade back from the third pick in the draft, is there a specific player you'd like to see them target? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Of course, running out of time for phone calls today, but you can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. All right, let's, man, we haven't talked to Marcus Pollard in a while, at least on the air, right? We see him all the time. Marcus's official title, Director of Player Engagement and Youth Football. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Staying busy this time of year.
I think your unofficial title is one of the biggest golf enthusiasts on the Jaguar staff. You and I, that's all we ever talk about when we see each other. When you shoot, when you die, I had this, I did that. I just went through my good holes from you yesterday. It didn't take long.
And you kept the bad ones a secret.
I kept the bad ones. Well, there are plenty of them. But how's your game right now?
Right now, it's struggling a little bit. I think I'm having too many three putts. We were just talking off the air, and I had played the other day at Slammer and shot 88, but I had 5 three putts. And then the last 3 rounds, it's just been awful putting. So I'm just going to put the clubs away and concentrate nothing on making but 5 and 6 footers.
That's a guy who cares about his game.
That's right.
He's working it. It's unbelievable. I'm not going to. I'm going to go.
No,
out
I'm
there.
Just like, oh, I'll have a round where I don't do that eventually.
I play with a buddy of mine who says he puts out everything. He'll put them out from 1 foot because he says he pays to hear that sound 18 times. I pay to hit my driver 14 times, whether I should or not.
No. Mike's the king of the gimme. He doesn't care.
Yeah, get 3 feet. That's good.
So, Mike, you don't manage. You don't course manage at all.
Oh, I course manage as long as it provides me an opportunity to hit my driver. Maybe I should ease off on the driver.
I let it fly.
That's right. Occasionally I'll pull out the 3-wood, but very rarely. But hey, that's why I am what I am. Not a very good player. You know what? We got a great coach, we hope. We love Gus Bradley, but we hope he turns out to be a great coach in terms of one loss record. But what he's been great at, one of the things, has been connecting with the local community. He's got his second annual local coaches clinic for high school coaches to take advantage of this with an NFL coach leading them through so many different aspects of preparing their teams for fall play. Tell us about what's coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, Gus is so adamant about reaching back to our local community, and he feels real connected to our high school coaches. He understands as a high school coach how difficult it can be at times and how sometimes you may need a little bit of guidance. So Gus has been really understanding and trying to connect, and he's having this second annual coaching clinic for all of our local high school coaches. So if you guys are listening and you want to take part in this thing, it's a great event. Gus is speaking. All of our position coaches are speaking. We're having our staff speaking, our equipment staff, the weight room staff, the training room staff. And so I think it's a great benefit for anybody that's listening that want to take part in this second event.
You mentioned this is the second time they've done it. How many coaches did you have out last year? What kind of feedback did you get from them about the event?
Well, last year we didn't market as well as we could have, and I think we had about 125 participants. But this year, because of social media and having gone through it the first time, we're up to like 225 people. And so, but we want more. We don't have a limit on the number of people we want here. If we get 500 people, we'd love to have 500 people here. But the feedback we got was that some of the things that it took too long here, that was a little bit stale and could have done this a little bit different. So any coaches that were here last year, they'll see a dramatic change in how we present it this year. And I think it's going to go off a lot smoother. And we have a lot of secret gifts and secret things that we're going to do to make it a little bit more exciting for the coaches that attend.
Can I go? Secret gifts? I want to go. here's the thing.
Free stuff. You perk up the media
with
all
that
stuff.
And that's the thing.
Stuff.
It's free, Tony. This is free. That's really the great thing. I mean, this is just a way to make football better on the First Coast. And coaches, what are you doing Thursday that's more important than this opportunity? You're not going to have something that's more important than this opportunity. You said, I mean, it's down to, like, the proper technique to tape an ankle. I mean, little things like that, because these coaches have to multitask. They're the CEO, but then they're the middle manager and everything on down
grass,
as well.
Chalk the
they
line,
do it
we'll
all,
everything.
Right? I mean, that's really what it's about. And to have this resource to be able to say, hey, look, we've, through trial and error, figured out this is the way that it works for us at the highest level of football. Not everything is going to be applicable to a lower level, but there's a ton of stuff that football is football, right?
Absolutely. Football is football. No matter what level you play it on, it's still teaching guys, encouraging guys. And I thought it was so special for me that I heard one of my coaches talk to me. I leave him nameless because they didn't have a good year this year. And so he felt like his team somehow quit on him. And because some of the things that we struggled with the last couple of years, he look at us and see Gus still has those guys playing hard. They're playing the enthusiasm. They're playing tough. They're playing assignment. Sure, forget the money, but they're still playing their butts off. Can Gus tell me how does he get his guys to keep playing? And that's one of the questions that may come up in this thing. So any questions you may have, like Mike said, football is football. So if you come here, you have questions that can make your program better, I'm pretty sure we have somebody that can give you an answer to help you become better.
How big of an area do you serve with this? Is it as from as far away as you want to come for this thing?
You can come from Alaska if you choose to. If you have somebody in Alaska that heard about Gus Bradley's coaching clinic and you want to buy a flight from Alaska, come on.
He's very popular in North Dakota, by the way, where he went to North Dakota State.
Absolutely.
And let me ask you now, and by the way, let me throw out there, jaguars.com/clinic is the way to get all the information you're going to need. Do people have to sign up ahead of time?
They don't have to sign up ahead of time, but if they want to get the free stuff,
gotcha,
they need to sign up ahead of time.
I encourage you to go to jaguars.com/clinic and get that all worked out. How long does it go? Is it an all-day thing, a few hours?
Mike, that's a great question. So last year, through feedback, we decided to shorten it a little bit, but registration will start at 10:30, and there's pizza and salad and drinks. We couldn't do beer. So all you coaches that wanted some beer, we couldn't do that. But we got pizza, salad, and we're just the time to associate and get together from 10:30 to 12, and then Gus will be up at 12, and we'll probably finish the day about 5:15.
If you're a football junkie, man, as a coach, you got to be a football junkie. I think most of these high school guys, they're not getting rich, most
right.
of them.
They do it for the love.
They do it for the love, and this is just a phenomenal
access
enterprise.
To an NFL coach because you happen to live around the
entire staff,
NFL city, right?
Every position, every position covered, and every aspect of the staff as well. Pretty big stuff. Let me ask you, as a tight end, former tight end, Julius Thomas, how excited are you that he's now a member of the Jags?
Very excited. Our paths are very similar. Both played college basketball, both played with Peyton Manning, both played tight end, and now working for the Jags. We have so much in common. And he was here when he was in the building. We just chopped it up about everything. I'm really excited to see this kind of guy to come and help Blake improve, help our offense improve, and overall help our team improve. I'm really excited about having Julius in the building.
I think Julius handled things well. He didn't blow it off when people said, you know, or ask him the question you got to ask. You know, people are saying Peyton Manning made you, right? I mean, that's the way it is. And he said, look, Peyton Manning's great. Why? Peyton Manning's going to help a lot of guys be great. But at the same time, I think you look at that offense. A number of factors. He gets hurt, Manning's hurt, and they're a little more run-dependent, but that offense was not nearly as clicking when Julius Thomas wasn't as effective at the end of the year because he was slowed. He was playing as a decoy a lot of the time. The thing that stood out to me was the day after they signed him, Tony and I are having lunch, Dave Caldwell walks up. Out of all the guys, he goes, what do you think about Julius? And we're like, you know, we're very impressed that he is a very put-together individual. Like all these guys they signed, right? All these guys can hold their own in front of a microphone. They're not going to embarrass the organization, that kind of thing. But Caldwell goes, he's so intense. And he always whispered it to us. And we're like, you know, because we haven't seen that yet. We haven't gotten to know him that way. But, you know, in Denver, it was almost like, Marcus, like they're trying to smear him on the way out the door. Unnamed right. sources said this guy's quit and he's trying to protect his free agency investment. To hear the GM be impressed by his intensity and his desire to be the best, I thought was pretty telling.
Yeah, I had dinner with him. And that's the one thing that I got glaring for me was that he's all about Gus's philosophy, get better every day. He said, Marcus, I want to do whatever I can to get better every day. No holds barred. I'm coming to work. I'm going to look at how to block. I'm going to watch tape, lift the weights, whatever I need to do to help this organization establish itself and start winning football games. That's what I want to do. And to me, you could hear it in his voice. And I think that's the intensity that Mr. Caldwell is speaking on because you could hear it and feel it in the way he said it.
I want to know what's up with you basketball guys using football as a fallback. There's no one that's
anybody
like,
can play
there's
football,
no one that's
Tony.
Like, I really want to play football, and then that falls apart, and they're like, ah, let me try hoops. Nobody works that way. All you tight ends, it's you're playing hoops, 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 and eventually it's like, well, I can't do that anymore. Let me try this other sport. What's up with that, Marcus?
I don't know. I personally think that you can take a basketball player, an athletic basketball player, and teach him to do anything. Golf, bowl, tennis. football, track, because to me, because of everything that we do is more geared toward let's run away from people, let's use our athleticism. And most guys that we play against on the football field, our opinion as basketball players, are a little bit less athletic than we are. So when we can run faster than them and we can get away from them, if they sit in a zone, we can find it just like playing basketball. That's all you did playing ball. If you played basketball and your team played man-to-man against you, you figured out how to get away from that guy because you wanted the basketball. To me, a lot of the same concepts that we use as a basketball player, we use them now in football. And I think to me that was that was the easiest thing for me, was to figure out how to get open in zones, how to run away against man. But the toughest part was the blocking aspect of it, because that has never been done before on a basketball court. And so that part takes time. That part is a work in progress. No matter how often you do it, you can always get better at blocking.
And that's the thing with Julius Thomas. He's known more as a pass catching tight end. Mercedes Lewis, known more, not strictly, but known more as a blocking tight end, or at least that was his major forte. Assuming that Mercedes is back with the team, and we think he will be, even if, you know, maybe not at this current cap figure, whatever the case, if both of these guys are on the opening week roster, how do you see this working out and balancing it out with these guys on the field?
I'm rubbing my hands for all you folks at home listening.
We could hear that, yes.
I would just be really impressed to have Mercedes on one side and Julius on the other side, because Julius can be the kind of guy that you can put in the slot. You can be the kind of guy you can line him outside. And to me, it's kind of get back to what I was comfortable doing in Indianapolis so many years with Peyton, having two tight ends, Marvin and Reggie, myself and Dallas, myself and Ken Dilger, and being able to move all across the field and not have to change any of your offense and stay on third down. Now you got their heavy guys that's still on the field, and you got somebody trying to cover Julius Thomas in the slot.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you.
You
and hope. To me, yeah, good luck. I mean, to me, I think it's a huge advantage to have Mercedes and Julius on the field at the same time. I think it'd be outstanding.
All right. Well, we hope it is, man. We hope there's plenty more to come in the draft, upcoming, some help, yeah, and maybe some secondary free agent stuff as well. Team building never ends, as we know that. And
before you go, Marcus, did just get a tweet in from Duval Doom, who's been in studio with us before on a fan spotlight.
Doom, he's sitting in your seat right now.
I got you, Doomy.
He tweeted us saying that his coach's son really appreciated the clinic last year, and I know they live up in South Georgia. So it's good to hear that there is an impact for what you guys are doing with these kind of events. Just one more time, what's coming up on Thursday here at the
Thursday, we're having the second annual Gus Bradley High School Coaching Clinic. It is here at the stadium. If you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. But the way to register, and the best way to do it, is to get some free stuff, is register at jags.com/clinic.
I make sure that jaguars.com, put the whole thing in, jaguars.com/clinic. Who doesn't want the free stuff?
That's what I'm all about.
I mean,
if it's free,
you know,
get me three.
Exactly. Marcus Pollard, ladies and gentlemen, your director of player engagement and youth football for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Work on that putting, all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, who am I to talk? There he goes. Marcus Pollard. We'll come back with a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, down the home stretch, Jaguars today. Turn you over to XL Primetime at the top of the hour with Joe Hack and T-Wig. Coming your way, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt on board. Oh, let me tell you, we're looking forward to this Friday Top 5.
Oh, yeah.
Going off the sports beat this,
you know,
week.
It's one of those things where we came in last Friday, you and I were trying to come up with something 20 minutes before the show. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I was inspired by the Breakfast Club, which the date of their detention was actually last week.
That's right.
And you have a specific story regarding the Breakfast Club from someone that you knew in high
Mary
school.
Mary Visconti. If you're out there, Mary, I had the biggest crush on Mary Visconti in high school. She was such a little Audrey Hepburn wannabe. I don't say that in a bad way. She really was. She was a little Audrey Hepburn. That was her style goddess, right? And just cute style. She's awesome girl. And every single day, Tony,
yep,
every day, 3 o'clock after school, if you want to hang out at Mary Visconti's house, you watch a Breakfast Club every single day.
Yep. For whatever reason,
a screening of the Breakfast Club every day.
You told me that story years ago and it stuck in my head. So when the Breakfast Club came up last week, we were trying to brainstorm some ideas, and we came up with a really good one for this Friday in honor of your friend.
You came up with a good one. You said the top five movies that you've watched the most,
yep,
in your life, and you thought of it because of that. I don't know if Breakfast Club makes my top five because I didn't go to Mary's house every day. Dummy, I should have. You know, it was like open invitation. Come hang out with the girl I had a crush on. I was such a dork. It's any different now. But regardless, That is Friday's top five, the top five movies that you have personally watched the most in your life, over and over, the one you watch over and over and over and over again. My sons would be at least three Star Wars movies,
right.
Maybe Cars when he was little, because we watched the heck out of some Cars,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the Avengers. I don't know if that's the most watched superhero movie, but I would bet it is in our house. I watch the Avengers a lot now. A lot.
Love the Avengers.
I love that. But
four
anyway.
Weeks away. We're 4 weeks away from the draft. We're 4 weeks away from Avengers.
This is an issue. All right. This is an issue because the Avengers, I'm not going to watch the midnight showing on Thursday night with a 10-year-old. Okay. Not going to take him to the midnight
showing. I
don't
have a 10-year-old, so I might.
I understand that. Don't you come in with any spoilers either.
No, I don't.
Because
no
I've been
spoilers.
Sitting here. You haven't watched the second half of the whole season of Walking Dead.
No.
And I've had to keep my mouth shut out of deference to you. For weeks and weeks and weeks
now. I don't
now.
Spoil anything. I mean, I can remember when that first Avengers movie came out, and, like, you and I had seen it before you did because I did go to the midnight show or whatever that, and I came in that Friday, and I so desperately wanted to talk about
Hulk smash.
The Hulk scene. Yeah. I so wanted to talk Puny about it. I was
God.
Like, I'm not going to take the joy of that moment away mm-hmm. from anybody else.
No.
Because it's so good.
No, but the plan is all the new Marvel movies we see on the day they come out.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I guess technically midnight is like Friday anyway, but you know what I'm saying. So I guess matinee, because I'm not missing round two and three of the draft.
No.
That's
and that's kind of the thing. Like, nowadays, you don't even have to do midnight shows. They'll start showing the movies at like 8 o'clock, but the draft is going on that Thursday.
Right, not going Thursday.
Right,
no,
so there's no way I'm going unless I'm going to watch the entire first round of the draft and then scoot over to a theater to watch the movie. That
right.
That right now is my plan.
But there's so much... Boy, but there's so much like draft post round one buzz going on. I don't know. I wouldn't even need it. Feel like I've got all these great things to do. Why do them all at once? I'd want to spread it out a little bit.
Not me. I'll go with you again on Friday if you want me to.
All right.
I'll go twice.
Epic Theater in St. Augustine. We'll go to a matinee. Can't wait. That's going to be off the chain. So good. And it's all coming up 4 weeks away. All right. Today, a fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family. Of dealerships asking Jaguar fans, what drives you? We ask you, if the Jaguars trade down from the third pick in the draft, is there a specific player you'd like to see them target later on? Tony Smith, who do we get?
Here's what we got from Nick. Bud Dupree or Shane Ray? Hashtag stay put. Hashtag pick Vic. So he doesn't want to see
he
the
wants
team
some
trade.
Beasley.
From Cristiano, we got specifically not Shane Ray. So trade down, but do not target.
Ooh, I smell a fight.
Shane Ray.
Fight, fight.
From Michael, we got Bud Dupree at 12, Eric Kendricks at 19, and then Gurley Gordon or Cam Irving at 36. He's got a very specific plan as far as trading with the Cleveland Browns. From Eric, it would have to be to chase a talent like Cooper. I want the extra picks more to move around. From David, if the Jags trade back, please draft Todd Gurley with the Georgia Bulldogs helmet as his avatar. From Matt, trade down with Cleveland, pick up Bud Dupree, and then trade back in ahead of Cowboys and snag Melvin Gordon away.
Alfie also chimed in. I think he only tweeted at me because he didn't like you. He said Bud Dupree as well on that one, Alfie Crow. On Facebook, we got Dustin Smith and Cameron Irving. Jeff Cummings went with Bud Dupree because his name has a nice ring to it, and he fills a need. He also would wants to, he says, if you have the broad jump competition, I'd like to see either Jaguars today trade down and pick up Hacker so we could see him broad jump or compete against the other shows for the same reason. So he just wants to see Hacker do the broad jump. Hacker versus O'Halloran in the broad jump. Who you got?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Hacker because Hacker. O'Halloran is just like, he's going to eat a bag of M&M's and go, oh, I'm not going to wear it.
3.5 inches, he said.
WrestleMania! WrestleMania! All right. Let's see. Johnny Crum said either Cameron Irving or Eddie Goldman. I wonder if he's got a Seminole as his avatar here.
Right.
Let's see. What else? Matt Ryan weighing in. Jags are sixth in the NFL in sacking and quarterback. If you trade down, you need a safety. Draft Landon Collins from Bama, then get a running back.
A quarterback would say we need a safety.
Right. Joshua Lee writes, it depends on how far we trade down. Wouldn't mind Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon in the high teens or 20 range. Me, you and I have talked about Bud Dupree a lot.
I love Bud Dupree, and
I think he's a lot more likely than the guy I'm going to tell you in a sec, because I think it's a lot less likely that you trade down outside the top 10 or to like 15. Now maybe if you're going to 12 and you're getting two first round picks from Cleveland.
Let's say you get 12 and 19, you could see a scenario where it's Bud Dupree and the guy I think you're about
well,
to name.
The guy I say is Todd Gurley.
Right.
I agree with that. I'm not saying it. Three, certainly, but to me, I think Todd Gurley, and you got, your medical staff has to feel good about his rehab of his torn ACL. But look, Curtis Martin tore his ACL in college. Willis McGahee tore his ACL in college. Frank Gore's torn his ACL a couple of times. It's not a death sentence for a running back. Medical technology, Adrian Peterson came back with a vengeance. I think Todd Gurley's a special player. I think he can carry an offense potentially in the National Football League. You know, Jags clearly want to run the football. I'm not trading back and trying to get Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is a full tier below, in my mind, to Todd Gurley, what I think Todd Gurley can be. If Todd Gurley hadn't torn the ACL, Tony, I think you'd see him being mocked in the top 10, to, I don't know which team, but, you know what I mean? I mean, I think it would be that
kind of
thing.
I think the noise in Jacksonville for Todd Gurley to be the third pick would be real.
Would be big, right?
Yeah, and if he wasn't hurt.
Now, what range that is, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not saying don't get a pass rusher as well. Maybe you do go that way. Maybe you get Bud Dupree and you look to get a running back with the second of those first-round picks if that scenario came to pass where you got Cleveland to move up. And Mary Kay Cabot's article certainly doesn't throw any water on that, right?
No.
It's funny. Do we want the Titans to draft Leonard Williams or do we want them to draft Marcus Mariota? It's really a tough call, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, you know, if Mariota's sitting there, that's probably what the trade market is going to be for, is for a quarterback. I don't know if you're not going to have nearly the clamoring. Like, Cleveland's not coming up to get Leonard Williams. Maybe somebody comes up a few picks to get Leonard Williams.
Right.
And you get Vic Beasley or somebody else, and that's a nice consolation prize. Could you imagine, though, let's say it was Winston Mariota and the Jags didn't take Leonard Williams. Boy, I mean, you got to go who you think is right. If you're Dave Caldwell, go with who you think is right, but damn, you better be a man of your conviction because
yep.
You're going to open yourself up to all the second guessing in the world if the consensus top position player outside of QB in the draft is bypassed.
Yeah, and I think John Osher said it about as well as you can say it. Regarding the potential of Leonard Williams coming here to Jacksonville at three if he's available, if he's the type of guy that you feel like in 4 or 5 years you're going to be looking back at this draft and saying, why in the world didn't we take Leonard Williams? Like, if you feel like he's that type of prospect, then you draft the guy and you move the pieces around that are on your roster however you need to use him as well as you possibly can.
Could you imagine? I'm not saying he's J.J. Watt, but can you imagine the team saying, we have enough defensive linemen,
right?
We don't want J.J. Watt.
And I think for me, and this is something I discussed on my show last night, I think it's kind of the same thing with Amari Cooper. Unless you're looking at Amari Cooper, if he's available to you, and saying, in 4 years, I think we're going to be looking back at this draft and saying, why? How could you pass up on Amari Cooper? Unless you feel like he's that type of prospect, you don't take him at three. And I think there are fans in the city who do feel that way about Amari Cooper. I don't get any sense in the building necessarily that's the way they feel about Amari Cooper. I know that's not how I feel about him as a prospect, which is why I think in the end, Leonard Williams, if he's there at three, and other than that, it's going to be a pass rusher at three if they're there.
Oversimplification here, and look at last year, the depth of wide receiver, right? It was phenomenal, right? They say this year's very good, okay? Maybe not quite what it was last year. Who are you more likely to get in combination? A really good wide receiver at 36, if that's what you wanted, or a really good pass rusher? I mean, the
right
answer, I think, is clear that it's the wide receiver.
Especially if you're looking for a guy that can play the slot.
That doesn't mean you turn down, like you said, the Calvin Johnson guy, right? The guy that is the guy in 4 years, you're saying, how do we pass him up?
Difference-making talent, then you pull the trigger on the guy. It's, you have to be convinced he is that guy, and I think some people are. I'm not among them.
All right, let's see. What do we have coming up tomorrow? Who knows? 2 hours of Jaguar talk. How about that? I don't know if Gus is in today. I was told that my spy said they didn't see his card. I'd like to catch up with Gus and talk about his coaching clinic. If you didn't hear Marcus Pollard on with us earlier, go to jaguars.com/clinic. If you're a high school coach and you're not already on board, well, that's pretty impressive. They got over 225. They're like, we need to get more coaches here for this clinic, this free clinic. That's an amazing amount of coaches that are going to be coming in on Thursday. To, you know, take advantage of picking the brain of Gus and his staff and the position coaches on this football team. So that's coming up on Thursday. If you're a high school coach or you know one anywhere that can get here on Thursday, as I said, we'll take you from Alaska if you want to get in. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran for checking in from Tallahassee. Pro Day ongoing out at Florida State today. Tomorrow, John Osier, will try to catch up with him. He's out in Tallahassee, and get a firsthand report on what went down there, including Jameis Winston's throwing performance and the like, even though that doesn't factor into the Jags' draft plans, other than the fact that he's going to come off the board before they pick, therefore
right.
pushing everyone else down a little smid. All right, XL Primetime up next. That does it for Jaguars today. For Tyler Devitt, Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran, Marcus Pollard, and everybody else, thanks for tuning in, and all our callers as well. Thanks for participating on the social media. I'm Mike Dempsey. This does it for Jaguars today. Back again tomorrow on 1010XL 92.5 FM.